Tom, what's your subject, non-agenda or agenda?
Probably non.
Okay, thank you. Travis, is this any different than what I picked up the other day?
No.
Okay.
There's just a couple of little papers that I just added.
Right.
And that's it.
I have those.
How you doing, Daisy?
How are you?
Good.
All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. Remind everyone to turn their cell phones on silence or off. And could we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Jan Barbas.
Here.
Andy Martin.
Here.
Roy Davis.
Here.
Angie Christian. Yes, here. Can I have an approval of the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
I'm going to make a motion to amend the agenda. And take off interim manager under new business.
So I'll amend my motion to remove interim manager.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Roll call, Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Jan Barbas.
Yes.
Andy Martin.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Angie Christian. Yes. I don't have any agenda related public comments, so we're going to move right to the approval of the minutes. Special meeting, Wednesday, December 13th, 2017.
Move to approve.
I second.
Discussion? Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Jan Barbas.
Yes.
Andy Martin.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Angie Christian. Yes. Regular meeting, Tuesday, December 19th, 2017.
Move to approve.
Second.
Hang on.
I thought we had a copy of them. Just a second.
There's one error. I think it's the next one, but let me... I'm sorry, the error is in this meeting, December 19th. The last page, page 6 of 6, the very last motion, it says VP Barbas made the motion, and it says second by VP Barbas. I think there must be something wrong with that one. So I'm going to withdraw my motion to approve that.
Why don't we table that for the next meeting? And Travis, can you have someone look over the minutes, the taped, and
yes,
get that corrected? Thank you. Approval for special meeting Wednesday, December 27th, 2017.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Discussion. Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Jan Barbas.
Yes.
Andy Martin.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Angie Christian. Yes. Special meeting Friday, December 29th, 2017.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Discussion. Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Jan Barbas.
Yes.
Andy Martin.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Angie Christian. Yes. Financial report.
So I have one question about this. I think last week we saw that there was a $16,000 journal entry correction, and this week I think it's showing up in accounts receivable, or I'm sorry, stale accounts payable, and I'm not clear what has transpired or what the nature of that is. Do we have any explanation, or do we need Kim for that?
I need Kim for that. I'm not all exactly right. Sure.
So maybe next week we could have an explanation of what's going on with that.
Yep.
I just couldn't really follow from what we got.
Any further discussion? Do I have an approval of the financial report other than the questions we have, or would you like this for next week?
Do we have to approve it, or?
I don't think we do. Travis, operational report?
Yes. We had Jack produce us with a
Travis.
Plan. I'm sorry. Our operations report, the FEMA mitigation plan for the upcoming procedures, Jack just put this together so we kind of start having an outline of what is coming and what we need to be prepared for. RV park restroom auto door closers are installed and they work great. They're keeping the doors shut, so should keep our sanitary district happy, the sand, the debris, everything out of it. RV park electrical is continuing through the end of the week and will hopefully be completed by the end of this week or early next week. We have materials for the fence along the kite field. I think I'm going to get prices for installation to determine if we're going to do that in-house or contract that out. We're continuing to walk docks to check for dock damage and ensure that vessels are secure. We continue to work with Bandit Pacific to help move items away from the closed dilapidated dock. With the help of Dave Hoover's time and equipment, we were able to remove Bandit Pacific's freezer from the dock this weekend, and there's only two items left out there to remove off that dock. Both cranes are operating at BC dock. There is one problem with the remote control, which is a warranty issue that Mike Manning is contacting them to get the warranty issue figured out. On Friday, January 26th at 5 p.m., the Port of Brookings opened the sealed bids for the lawn tramp docks. The bids were then sent to OSMB for review. Oregon State Marine Board quickly responded and gave us direction to accept the apparent low bidder. That low bidder was informally named as Topper Industries Incorporated. I received a sample from OSMB of the notice of intent to award. We created that notice and sent that out today. And that's all I have for this week.
So, Travis, I had some questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had asked you about the boatyard, and you gave me an update on that the other day about some of the progress of continuing to get that cleaned up. One of the things is on the agenda for the sale of the dredge pipe, but it sounds like there's been some more progress on another boat removed, plus the boat that's on its side. You're working
yes,
on that?
Yes, well, the boat on the side, I pushed it back there with the other one, so it's not sitting out there in the middle. That boat's just a candidate for the dumpster when we can afford it. And then there was a sailboat that was bought off the auction website, and that was loaded on a trailer and taken out yesterday.
Okay, and it is looking clean in there, so good job on that.
Thank you.
So I have one question before we move on. Know we're a little short-staffed in the front office, and I actually haven't actually looked at our website myself in the last few days, but can we be getting these operational and financial reports up weekly on the website like we used to?
Yes, okay. We can make that happen.
Thank you so much.
Any further discussion? All right, let's go to old business, sale of the 14-inch dredge pipe. Travis?
We currently have someone that's interested in buying 7,000 feet of the pipe. My questions basically are that you guys still want me to go through and sell the pipe, and if there is a discrepancy, if there's a number that we're looking for. Jack, in your packets, kind of provided us with his opinion on it, but it's, you know, ultimately, how bad do we want it? Do we want the pipe gone? Do we want to wait to see if we can sell it for more money? That's kind of what I wanted to know from you guys, how anxious we are to get rid of it.
How long has it been on the public surplus site?
I'm not exactly, Brent, do you know how long this stuff has been on here for? Some of these are 12 days, almost 60 days.
Hey, Travis, you and I talked about this. We had an offer for $5 a foot on 7,000 feet. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I think, isn't there approximately 10,000 feet of that 14-inch pipe?
Yes.
For some reason, the state of Oregon didn't want to buy it from us when they bought the 10-inch. I don't know why. But
it doesn't fit their dredge.
Well, why do we have it? Never mind. I would suggest, and who's working on this, you or Jack?
Jack is the person that was interested in the pipe actually contacted Jack, and then Jack contacted me just to let me know what was on the table, and he's kind of just kind of been talking to that guy, having him hold on, because I told him that I really had to discuss this with you
guys.
Didn't
when we made the decision to sell this pipe, it was pretty much, let's get rid of it. Any money is better than no money.
Okay. And then Travis and I talked about, can we lower the price down and sell the whole thing, all 10,000 feet of it, at a lower price? Have you approached Jack about that? Let's say $450 a foot?
I think that the guy is interested in it. Again, it's kind of just why, if you guys want me to negotiate it with them, it's for the best number that I can get out of it. This is kind of why I wanted to talk about this, because, you know, he's wanting 7,000 feet. If we want to give him 10,000 feet for a lesser number, then I kind of want...
Or give him the 7,000 feet of $5 and give him the 4,000 feet. It's the worst. It's not as good a pipe, as you understand, for $4 a foot and get rid of it.
Okay.
I'm saying it's taking up space. We have no use for it. And if we have to dredge, they've got to bring their pipe for us. So get it out of here.
Any other commissioners have any thoughts on this?
I agree with Roger.
Sam?
I think given the amount of time it's been on public surplus, it's time for it to move.
So can I have a motion, please?
I make a motion we allow Travis to negotiate to sell the 14-inch dredge pipe.
I'll second that.
And I have some figures in there.
$5 a foot for the 7,000 feet and less for the 3,000 feet, approximately 3,000 feet, we think is the less quality.
Okay. Any other discussion? Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Jan Barbas.
Yes.
Andy Martin.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Angie Christian. Yes. Telehandler. Me or you? Is that me?
That one's you.
Oh, okay. I've been in contact with Umpqua Bank, and they had some concerns with our audit report to make sure that the final audit was exactly what they had received. They also wanted some bios on Travis, which we provided. He wrote up some really a good bio, and they wanted a bio on a possible intern manager, which we can't do because we don't have a contract. We haven't voted as a board. So I've sent that all off, and I'll be following up with them tomorrow or the next day, giving them time. Sent them off, and they haven't requested anything else. So we're waiting. They know it's time sensitive, and they're supposed to ship the telehandler out the 31st.
Hopefully today.
And
we're looking to probably receive it early next week.
Okay. And we've got a backup plan if
yes,
that doesn't happen.
Yes, we do.
Any discussion or questions?
Well, I think going into the loan with Umpqua or M2 has been previously authorized by the board, and the purchase has been previously authorized by the board. So I think it's just an update. I don't think we need it.
The only thing that's going to be crucial, depending on when our next meeting is we need to authorize a signer. And I personally don't want to put Travis in that position as a temporary. And we need a commissioner assigned to be able to sign the documents and not to hold it up for another meeting.
I think we authorized signers at a prior meeting.
That was Gary.
Okay. So let's have a motion to authorize you. Is that?
Or the treasurer, either one.
Who wants it?
Doesn't matter.
Move to authorize Roger Thompson as treasurer to sign off on whichever loan we decide to go with, the M2 or Umpqua, for the telehandler.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Jan Barbas.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Andy Martin.
Yes.
Angie Christian. Yes. RV Park Restrooms.
I'll talk about this since I asked this to be put on the agenda. During the last storm with the 27 or 28 foot swell that overwhelmed the parking lot, salt water and sand and driftwood got into the RV park restroom. This seems to be happening about once a year. So the Harbor Sanitary District is concerned about that. And I talked to Kelly there, and I understand her concerns about the, obviously we don't want sand or salt water getting into the sanitary system. So previously the board had asked staff to put doors on those restrooms, which were done, was it Friday or over the weekend? Staff put the automatic door closers on there?
Yeah, it was on Friday. We
which
had them delivered, and we had to go through actually Brookings Glass to get the door closers that would actually work for what we had. But in all, that was the best decision they had. They were the best door closers we could have gotten.
Since they've been installed, has anybody propped those doors open with a garbage can or anything?
I did find that they did try to get propped open, but the door stops were removed, so, and there hasn't been any other problems so far as keeping those doors shut. And if there does become a problem with the wind blowing them open, they can be tightened more. It's just harder you tighten them to shut, the harder they are to open, too. So I think we're at a good, happy medium right now.
So the issue the port faces with this, if water and sand continues to get into that system, the Harbor Sanitary District could impose a 10-day warning that they're going to shut the system down, where we won't have access. You know, they're going to shut the hookup to that. So I feel the port needs to take action to make sure that doesn't happen. The door closures are a start. I think also we may want to consider when the National Weather Service issues a high surf advisory, which is typically for swells over 20 feet, that we consider just locking those doors and closing it during the time of the high surf advisory. That's when that's when those doors are most likely to get overwhelmed with salt water. And even consider putting the sandbags up until we have an alternative, which do you want to tell people about?
Just briefly, the kind of what I was thinking is that approximately 10 to 15 feet from the doors between the bathrooms and the road, there's a piece of concrete that extends out between 10 and 15 feet. And if we build a 4 foot tall CMU wall that covers the front of it, and then even maybe 45s back towards the building, so if anything does come over, it'll either hit the wall or be pushed around it versus directly into the doors. It's the best thing I can think for actually keeping it out and not relying on door closers and other things like that. But I can put something better together for you guys and present that to you guys later.
If you could do a cost estimate.
I think that's an excellent idea to do that, and this summer, at least in this summer, we can get it done.
Well, I would like to make a motion that we lock those doors during high surf advisories issued by the National Weather Service.
One thing with that I do think we should check into is locking the bathrooms for the RV park guests. Is that, I don't know if that's an issue.
It's not an issue as long as you don't have anybody in dry camp or you have the other ones open. You do not have to have a restroom in on full hookup RV park. And I know we have a few sites in our full hookup, but very few. Mm-hmm. And if they does get in that position, you can always move them to a full hookup. Or they can put in a holding tank and dump.
Okay.
So I just wonder if we have any issues with our parks agreements as far as locking those.
I'm going to have to, I'll have to check into just making sure that all that's okay to do.
So I would say rather than second that, I would be interested to hear a report back from Travis next week.
Okay.
They were not built by the port. They were built by the public originally, before it was ever Port Harvey Park. So there might be some issues there, but.
So I'll withdraw the motion. And then wait for the update next week.
Travis, don't you have the little one behind where the old Faley's was? It's still open?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there's restrooms available.
Mm-hmm. There's those restrooms. I'll look into it. I'm not up to date on the current rules. And if we can wait till next week, then I'll provide you guys those answers.
Thank you, Travis. Ready for public comments. Dave Castellano, Marriage Issue. You'll need to come up here, sir, and state your name and sit down or stand up in front of us so we can get everything recorded properly for the minutes.
Okay.
And you need to
face you or face them?
You're speaking with the board.
Okay.
And just state your name and 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is David Castellanos. I've had a slip in this port 5 years plus now. I've been at the present slip for 3. I didn't receive a notice that my slip was due, and apparently I lost it. And that's why I'm here tonight, because off your website, it states, once slip payment is delinquent, you're billing me at a monthly rate. Didn't say anything about losing it, and I was not received notice of this. I found out through other people that, hey, somebody else has had your slip.
So I'm going to ask first, did you contact the court office and speak with Danielle that is in charge of mortgage, and then...
She didn't talk to me. I talked to Skylar, who was in the front of the office at the time. And what he explained to me was it was shown to him on Craigslist my boat was for sale and that I might be going out of business. Well, I explained to him that I was looking to buy a bigger boat.
Okay. So I would encourage you to first start with the office, and then if you're not satisfied with that, to speak with the manager.
I tried several times last week. Never got a response from the office.
Well, and then I was told she wasn't right now.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up at the commission, because that's off your website.
Do you have a copy of your mortgage agreement?
Not on me.
Do you know when your mortgage expired?
I did not receive a notice that it expired.
So can we ask staff to get a copy, not for this meeting, but if we just for the commissioners to see when his last mortgage agreement expired?
Mm-hmm. And any history of notices?
Yes. I've discovered there are other people that have received monthly statements after their long term was expired.
Travis, can you work with him directly and see
Absolutely.
If we can resolve this?
Yes, I can.
So are you in the office?
I will be in the office at the end of this meeting. I'll give you my cell phone number, and then you can call me, and we'll work out a time and date that works for you, and we'll get it handled.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
I'll
take my 3 minutes to sit down.
Doug Lewis, Staff Overload Infrastructure.
Come up there.
Yes, please.
I'll stand.
That's fine. Just introduce yourself so we have it for the minutes.
Doug Lewis, I'm a manufacturing consultant, and I've also spent probably 30 years in marine construction, one form or another, and can't help but looking around the port and looking at the size of it and looking at the number of staff available to maintain it, and I've got to say that's pretty unrealistic, and it puts an extreme overload on the personnel. And I've spent quite a bit of time working down here at the port. Everybody that I've ever had to get assistance from is given 110, 200%, and including some of the office staff that occasionally had to be drug in and get covered with grease and whatever. I think that the port is going to have some serious issues if the staff keeps getting reduced and they keep getting assigned more tasks. And I also know that most of the employees will go ahead and do whatever you ask them to do, and they'll do everything they can to do it. But at some point, people are going to start breaking, and it's going to be even more damaging to the port. And the other thing is, we definitely do not have even remotely enough people to deal with the crumbling infrastructure. And I think we need to really watch where we spend the few dollars that we have available on maybe trying to get a few more employees in the office and definitely out in the yard and in the field. I think this business of stretching the employees out when they're already ridiculously stretched out is just not a good idea. If I tried to do that in my business, I'm sure I'd be facing stress suits and everything else. And for a, it's, to me, I'm amazed for a public entity that the quality of the employees and the amount of work they put out. Usually it's just the opposite. You have 50 people to do a two-man job and most of them are sitting around doing nothing. And that's definitely not the case here, but we need to protect the good workers that we have and get them a few more people to help them out so we can get some of the stuff done. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Doug, I can't speak for the commission, but we are working towards that. We're waiting for an interim manager to get the staff the help they need. That's, you know, as a commission, we're not in the business of hiring people, and we're getting close. So thank you for coming. And Drew, concrete.
Yeah. I wanted to address Drew DeCunha. I've been a union contractor, a union carpenter for 30 years. I've been involved in construction for 42. Mr. Thompson brought up a question about concrete testing, and my question is this. In your concrete, I noticed that you had an emergency contract that was put out to do this work. Is that correct? Or your contract documents?
I wasn't, yes.
Your contract
I
documents?
I never saw the contract.
Okay, your contract documents should detail who your inspector of record is, when your testing is to be done, who your tester is.
I totally agree with you.
And if that is being, if that, if those, the terms and obligations are not being met, then you have, you should be able to file legal recourse. Because, I mean, every job that I've ever been on, you take three samples off that truck. You take a 7-day sample, you take a 21-day sample, and usually your 21-day sample, when it's crushed, it tells you that, yes, you're good. That third sample is usually broken at 28 days. You're going to get your maximum compression at that point. And if it doesn't meet, then you have legal obligations by the supplier. And you should have an inspector of record who is giving you documentation. You should be able to go back to the job site superintendent's notes. Those should be provided because you are the end user. You're ultimately the end user, and you should have documentation of the work, because that work, you own it. And if your engineer has failed to do, has failed to meet specs and specifications that are industry standard, and your doc fails because your contractor did what he was supposed to, read the prints, read them properly, did the work the way he was supposed to do it, it falls back on the engineering. So I'm wondering where in your contract documents you have an inspector of record and where that documentation should be coming to. Should be coming to this board, or it should be coming to the port staff. Where is that? That's my question to the board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tom?
I'm Tom Bean, and my comment follows along with what he was saying. Is that there's been comments made by this board that there is cosmetic problems with the dock. That dock is not a new car, it's an industrial entity, I'll say. And just to say that there's problems with the dock, not say exactly what the problem is, just leaves innuendos like it's what being, like is what is being posted on social media, editorials to the paper and such. So this stuff just coming up even from people out here that are not on the board, that is just saying, well, this is wrong, this is right, tell me what's wrong with it, what's right with it. And if you can't do that, then you just need not say anything.
Thank you. Commissioners' reports. Roy Davis.
I have nothing to say tonight.
Andy Martin.
I don't have anything.
Roger Thompson.
Yes, I'd like to say that Travis and his crew out there have been doing a good job. I mentioned Zorro was closest to him about a week ago, and they jumped right on and got him ordered and got him on. They've been doing everything they can. I know Travis has worked weekends to go get us different chairs to save us money and move to the freezer and stuff that he's sitting here off that old dock, and been working with Mike and them to make room for pack choice or abandoned fisheries, whatever you want to call it. Have room to unload crab when the crab season starts. I think they've been doing a stand-up job under the conditions they're working under right now. I really appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Commissioner Barbas.
I have three items. One, I'd like to ask the board if maybe on a future agenda next week or at the next regular meeting perhaps, if we could discuss the system development charges. We have some credits for system development charges, and we have had interest in this space where we're sitting in now from two different tenants that are not in here because of system development charges, and I'd like to see if we can work out some kind of arrangement where we can somehow get them in, recover the fees over time in some way, or basically use our credits as a bank. And I understand Harbor San voted to give us some flexibility on that. Thank you, Gary. And I think we should take advantage of that. So I'd like that for a future agenda item.
Mm-hmm. Do that next week.
Great. The second item, I'd like to discuss the SDAO conference and figure out who's going to represent the port there. I reserved a room, and it's going to be like $370, and I did not reserve the book, the actual conference. That's like another $250 plus miles plus meals. I figure if I go, it's like $1,000, so I'm very hesitant to do that. I just want to make sure before I cancel that room, if we have somebody going, and I think I heard Roger's going.
I'm going to go. I'm going to pay in for my own room. If I complete the class, I'll turn in $230 for the education, because that's what our policy says to do when you complete the class. I don't expect the port to pay for any mileage, any room, any meals, or anything else.
Anyone else going? Do we have staff going, or?
No.
I can tell you that Mr. Coffey thought that if two went, it would be better, it would be good representation. I am not able to go. I don't even know if I'll be here in town, so.
What's the dates on that, Jim?
It's like
it's eighth. You have to travel on the next Thursday, a week from this Thursday.
I think the classes are on Thursday and the sessions Friday and Saturday. And there's theoretically session on Sunday too, but it ends about halfway.
The special classes are on. It's the same 6-hour class that I took up at Newport. You guys took in Bedford.
What is its location?
Thursday.
It's in Seaside.
And the sign up day was as of yesterday, Friday. To sign up for it.
Oh, last Friday?
I think you can't sign up still.
I know the port has one signed up, because I know Gary signed up. He might have signed up two people.
No, only one.
Only one? Mm-hmm. So we do have I would think the Port of Brookings does have an extra if you're going to go, but I don't plan on Port paying for anything but my.
I'd like to see you go, Jan. To represent.
Well, rooms are hard to come by.
I did the OPPA at my own expense, and that cost me about $400, and I really just can't afford to keep doing these at my own expense. So I think I'm going to cancel my reservation. And Roy, are you going to go maybe?
I'll look into it. I'll give somebody an answer tomorrow.
Okay.
I have to reschedule a big job that just started 3 days ago.
And then my third comment is on the BC Fisheries dock. And just to let people know, Andy and I are the subcommittee for that. Did you get the email about the testing on the dock? Okay. So there's been three cores taken that have shown that the dock is of adequate thickness, and then just today we received, or maybe it was yesterday, we received some results on testing on the dock, and I think we will evaluate that and move forward. But things are happening where we're starting to get information about the dock. So that's a very good thing and very optimistic. And I think we're actively working with the contractor and the engineer and trying to resolve that issue, and at this time I don't think there's any evidence to say that there's anything wrong with that dock. So,
and President, can I make a comment? Tom, and you said who brought the problem up to the cracks was Mike Manning, not any of us.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with the port board. Mike Manning brought it to Gary Dillinger's attention. Okay. And I've walked the dock.
That wasn't exactly what I was talking about. I've been out of town, and my neighbor brought me the papers, and I did read in it where one of the board members said the cosmetics of the dock was not good. Well, if it was for a tourist to walk on, I would say no, it's not up to that standard, but it is up to an industrial standard. It's like when I was in business, I would paint like dumpsters, and they say, oh, there's runs on it. Well, sure there's runs on it, because I used a wash gun to paint it with. It's not an automotive finish, it's an industrial finish, and there's a difference between what you're going to put out on the front here and what you put back where you're working. And that's what I was mentioning.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned. Do not engage.
What?